El Lakach Rosenberg.
I want to lift up the names of two neighbors. Victor Manuel Diaz, abducted from his workplace in Minnesota on January 6th, who died in ICE custody in Texas on January 14th. I want to lift up the name of Renee Macklin Good, queer poet, wife, parent, murdered in South Minneapolis by ICE on January 7th while observing an abduction in her neighborhood. May their memories be for blessing. May their families be comforted and surrounded in love.
The next day, another Minnesotan would be killed, Alex Jeffrey Preety. For Democracy Now!, this is John Hamilton in Minneapolis.
Voices from Friday's massive protest and rally in Minnesota's unions and churches led an economic blackout to protest ICE. Special thanks to John Hamilton and Sam Alkoff and our special storm team here in New York. Tamarie Astudio, Chirina Nadura, Rabbi Karen, Mike Burke, Nicole Salazar, Mike DeFilippo, Safwat Nizal, Becca Staley, John Randolph, Cole Marksha, Julie Crosby, Gina Gester, Messiah Rhodes. I'll be speaking at the John Barrymore Center in Fort Lee.
Tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
New year, new KBOO. Thank you to everyone who contributed and supported us during our KBOO Fights Back end of year campaign. With help from our community, we exceeded our $75,000 goal and will be able to continue bringing you grassroots independent community radio.
Good day. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. That's 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 26th of January. The year is 2026. I am Cecil, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let me remind those of you who are listening that this is a program where you are invited to call in and share your thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We will open up our lines in a little while, but I wanted you to have those numbers ready so you know how to call in. And many of you do, so I look forward to hearing your thoughts and your perspectives this day. Well, where are we and where are we going? Last words from Alex Preety were, "Don't touch her. Are you okay?" The last words of Rene Gerd were, "I'm really not mad at you, dude. On New Year's Eve in Los Angeles, Keith Porter was celebrating the New Year, as is the custom in many places. He shot bullets into the air. He was killed by an off-duty ICE officer. In 2025 was the deadliest season, ISIS deadliest season in two decades. Over 32 people died who were in custody. So let's say some of their names. Maxime Chiniac, Juan Alexis Tineo Martinez, Brian Garcon Leo, Yon Yirak Nguyen, Marie-Ange Blase, Abelardo Avellaneda Delgado, Johnny Noviello, Tin Quan Phan, Cho Feng Ge, Lorenzo Antonio Patres Vargas, Santos Banegas Reyes, Nolan Guzman Fuentes, Xuaping Ji, Leo Cruz Silva, Khazan Ali Mo Saleh, Kei Ying Huan, Peter Sumalo Montejo, Fuad Saeed Abdulkadir, Delvin Francisco Rodriguez, Nienko Stanev Ganchev. Those were some of the people that we know of who had died in ICE custody in 2025. Many of us grieve the death of Rene Gerd. And we were horrified and mourned the death of Alex Pretty, an ICU nurse at the Veterans Hospital. But let us remember that there are so many people who are in danger. I am reminded that we are called to be people of action and willing to do things that we did not think we could do. Today, January 26th, is also the birthday of Angela Davis. She was born on this day in 1944. She is 82 today. She once said, "I think the importance of doing activist work is precisely because it allows you to give back and to consider yourself not as a single individual who may have achieved whatever, but to be part of an ongoing historical movement." Alex and Renee were part of that ongoing historical movement. And being aware of this movement allows us to place ourselves, to settle ourselves for the long haul. The activist and later Congressman John Lewis, in a book, Across the Bridge, Life Lessons and a Vision for Change, wrote, "Ours is not the struggle of one day, one week, or one year. Ours is not the struggle of one judicial appointment or presidential term. Ours is the struggle of a lifetime, or maybe many lifetimes. And each one of us, in every generation, must do our part." So what are we doing in this time? How are we prepared to live our lives in these times? Certainly, I believe that Alex, when he woke up a couple of days ago and continued to do what he felt called to do, to stand up, to witness, to bear witness, certainly he did not know what that day, how that day would conclude for him. But he did that which he thought he was called to do. Renee Good, when she got up on her last day, prepared her children for school, drop her children at school, and thought she would do what neighbors do all the time, to look out for one another. Certainly she was looking out for her neighbors. I did not expect that that day would be her last day. On last weekend, thousands of people from all over the nations gathered in the Twin Cities to bear witness, to stand up figuratively and literally, to kneel figuratively and literally, and to bear witness, to witness that which they saw, which they knew, and to raise their voices and saying, "This is enough." There's a famous line from the 1933 film Duck Soup. Chico Marx said, "Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes. And so, we witness the horror all around us. So the question is not only responding to Chico Marx, who are we going to believe, but following the example of Renee and Alex and Angela and John, what are we prepared to do? And how are we prepared to do it? Once more, John Lewis, these words perhaps may offer you some wisdom, some strength. Ours is not the struggle of one day, one week, or one year. Ours is not the struggle of one judicial appointment or presidential term. Ours is the struggle of a lifetime, or maybe even many lifetimes. And each one of us, in every generation, must do our part. And on her birthday, let us hear again the words of Angela Davis, this call to action. She said, "I think the importance of doing activist work is precisely because it allows you to give back and to consider yourself not as a single individual who may have achieved whatever, but to be part of an ongoing historical movement." I invite you to call in and share some of your thoughts today. Reflections of this weekend, reflections perhaps of what you are called to do. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. What are we called to do in these times? How are we called to stand up for our communities? How have your life changed in these last few months, living under an increasingly authoritarian regime? What gives you hope in these times? What was it that allowed people to stand, to witness, to come to the aid of their neighbor? And what gives you the strength to do it? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm interested in hearing how you are feeling and what are some of the things that you are doing. This weekend, the governor of the state of Oregon held a press conference, and in it, she and other elected officials denounced the ICE operations, not only in this state, but throughout the nations. And she responded that there will be proposed legislation for the legislative short session in next month to put some increased barriers around the operations of these federal troops. Are you aware of these? Are you preparing to advocate for these? And also, the U.S. Senate has the possibility to take action this month and say no to ICE. May mean that the government will shut down, but are the Democrats strong enough to do that? On the federal level and on the state level, what are we doing and in our communities? You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's hear from our first caller this morning. Tuasi, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. And good morning, KBOO listening audience. I just wanted to reflect on previous times when Nazis came into power because while they were rounding people up and forcing them into concentration camps, they were also doing inhumane experiments on them. Mm. And while all of the, remigration actions, because let's stop using deportation as a phrase, it's obviously ethnic cleansing. While the ethnic cleansing operations are ongoing in public, we have no idea what is going on behind closed doors.
Yes.
In the previous administration, they were taking the reproductive organs out of detainees. And I've seen, without any verification, videos talking about a DOD contract for detainees with Neuralink.
Mm. Wow.
I would not be at all surprised if they're doing inhumane experiments on detainees, and we need to figure it out. We need to find out if they're experimenting on people in detention.
Well, yeah, we don't know. We don't even have access, and what's happening behind those doors is horrifying. What can we do?
Did you see the video from outside of the children's detention center where they're screaming, "Let us out"? Hmm. There's a video from a lawyer who was at the detention center and got kicked out, and he shares a recording of children screaming from inside of a detention center. We have child detention centers with children screaming inside of them.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, on the, just really quick before I go, on the what do we do front, I've been a lifelong activist, so I'm just going to name a few tactics that are nonviolent, peaceful, legal. You can do sit-ins. A sit-in is where you go to a location with a group of people, sit down, and refuse to leave. You can do walkouts. That's where you stand up from whatever activity you're doing and just leave it. You can do boycotts. You can also do, if you're less risk averse, lockdowns or tree sits. You can set up blockades, barricades, and, you know, even do more high risk things if you're adamantly against this. But it took a diversity of tactics to defeat the Nazis, and we won't win just by marching. Going to take a diversity of tactics.
We need to figure
out what we're comfortable with, what's realistic for us, and what we can do without putting ourselves and our families in too much danger while still protecting the people who are most vulnerable.
Thank you so much for those words and for reminding us that there are things that we can do and allowing us to make not only make a witness, but to take action. Thank you, Tuasi. I appreciate your words this morning.
Have a good day.
You as well. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio stations. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our caller Tuasi was sharing some of their thoughts on what we can do, how we can take action, and also his concerns about what is happening behind those walls. Let's hear what Molly has to say. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Cecil. And yeah, I appreciated what Tuasi said, especially at the end. I also have been a lifelong activist, having grown up in that era of activism. Mm-hmm. I want to say, Cecil, how much I appreciate what you do on these Monday shows. And this morning especially, I was really taken aback. I sat down. I even shed a couple of tears. I was so moved by your slow, calm naming of the people and how every single person counts. And we're in a universe of every single part matters, and certainly on this planet, and every person. And so I agree with Tuasi. There's things that we can do, and we are in a revolution. We are not just waiting, watching mm-hmm. something that might happen someday. We are absolutely in the midst of it, and we absolutely have to do something now. As in the words of all the great people, like Dr. King himself, I think, said, if you're not doing something about it, then you're just letting it happen, and it's going to happen to you, and it's happening to all of us. So the only idea I have and why I called in is that we have to take, I agree with Tuasi, more than just marches, which, you know, obviously so many people feel the way that we do about the horror that's going on. So I think we just have to shut everything down. And that means everybody, and this might sound crazy, but what else do we do in a crazy time?
Yes.
Nobody goes to their jobs. The kids don't go to school. The gas station attendants don't show up. The people have to stop driving. Whatever it takes to absolutely shut things down the way that, for instance, the COVID did, where all of a sudden everything stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop it in a way that really takes action on, for instance, the money aspect of it, since it's all about money, really, when you get right down to it.
That's the only
thing. Mm-hmm. That's just what I want to say. We have to actually organize in a way. Someone's got to do it. I'm sitting here thinking, how can I do it? I
mean,
the great people, Joan Baez, and people are still speaking out in their activism. People that are famous names, actors, can get the word out. Or Jamie Raskin, people that are, you know, can we shut down the country before it's gone forever from our grasp? And we are living in Nazi Germany, or some likeness of that.
Certainly.
Anyway, I'm getting mad again.
Hey, thank you, Molly, and thank you for being a lifelong activist. And there are things that we can do and that we are doing. And take care of yourself as you take care of your neighbors. Thank you.
Right.
Well, thank you for calling. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. And let's go to our next caller, Brad. Good morning, Brad. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, no problem, Cecil. Good morning to you. I listen to you all the time, and your voice has a nice, calm, pleasant demeanor about it. And this morning I woke up and I turned it on, and you're all somber, and it sounds like you were giving a eulogy. So I wanted to call up and try to cheer you up with what I'm doing, which cheers me up with these hard times. And I'd read an article in The Atlantic, and they talk about what they're doing in Minneapolis and why Minneapolis is like all rising up so fast and so effective against ICE.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they've knitted together a community in the on the ice, or as it would be, because they're people who grew up in the cold, so they always help each other. They give each other scarves. They've knitted together a really strong community. So kind of what I do, and I suggest this to everybody, I've joined what I call Papa Tifa, which is indivisible. And indivisible, there's no, like, a lot of politics going on. It's like, what can we do as a community?
Yes.
And they have little groups where what they're trying to do is build a grassroots, strong foundation for the day after, in essence. And I would highly suggest that. And you get really good conversations, and everybody's there to serve the community. And what can I do? where they kind of direct it really well, and they, you know, and it's good. I like it. There's no politics. We have, I mean, the only political discussion we got into once was somebody said something about who was it, John Galt or whatever, and I says, well, why don't you choose a more American thing of individuality, like through Emerson and his self-reliance, and they, oh yeah, I never read that, so they read that, so they would not discuss that. It was about, oh, how I hate Trump, or oh, how I hate Chuckles the Clown, or you know, so it was sure, it was really good. Then everybody gets assignments, like going out and watching the county commission, county council, to see what they're doing, and just taking notes, not interfering, just taking notes. And if the individual thinks that it's something that they need to discuss with them, then they show up as a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend it. Just go into the meetings and stuff. There are little chapters everywhere in Clark County and also in Portland and everywhere. And it is a united indivisible front, and
great.
And very positive. Very positive. The meetings are always positive. Well, for instance, when they were cutting off the funding to the food deal, everybody was showed up and wanted to get food, and there were donations of food, and where can we give? And we told the community around where here's you can give to these people. They're starving. Feed them. You know.
Excellent.
And also have whistle shops where you build whistles for the ice watchers and other things like that. So I just highly recommend that, Cecil.
Thank you. Thank you.
You won't be so somber. I was worried about you. I just thought I'd call.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for reminding us in some of your actions. Part of it is building communities, supporting communities, and your observation of what's happening in Minneapolis is replicated in communities throughout everywhere. Everyone, look out for their neighbor. You watch to make sure that, you know, if the mail isn't in going in their box, you take it to them. And we watch out for one another. So let's continue this action. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. We're talking about what we are able to do in these authoritarian times. Let's go to our next caller. Mike, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Cecil. I empathize with you also. I think on your eulogies, I thought that was, I could kind of feel you through the wavelengths or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, my background, I have a master's in computer science, and I've gone through the whole computer deal with Sun Microsystems and Intel and Tektronix and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I look at systems, and I think that what we're trying to do here is start a roots up communication system or social system or something like revolution, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
And so because we're getting the oppositional thing that's coming down on our thing really fast.
Mm.
So this is a coup that we're in, and it's very well equipped.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, to come back to it, everybody's doing what they're doing. I mean, Minnesota is saying we're going to just stand up as a body, and those are the ways, and you're going to always have to have communication, so people will have to get into, I think democracy is being run on cell phones these days. I think people who can use a camera and a video thing and all this robotic stuff too is kind of falling into it, you know, like I had a company called Parrot Technology. I was going, man, these computers are going to be like parrots, like old pirates days, you know, where the parrot sat on his shoulder and kind of watched everything. And I says, only our parrots are going to have, they're going to know all the languages of the earth. They're going to have access to all the information. They're going to be able to do whatever they want to do within this kind of cyberspace or this world gestalt or whatever it is, because it is a force. I mean, and we own the numbers, you know, we own all the body of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kabu, I applaud you as a group, because I'm from the coast, and I live in a little town, and not very many people, and half of them voted for Trump, you know, and so it's an interesting game we're in, and yeah. I think everybody's got a. I just watched an old movie that I had. I think it's like 2013 or something. It was called Finding Happiness, and it's about the Ananda sect of anybody who's read Autobiography of a Yogi kind of gets the gist of it. But I looked at the technology that was developing out of this group, and education, they talked about mind, where you are in 3D space, you know, like what's a feeling, what's a thought, you know, important questions, you okay. know, and so I think this whole revolution is going to start from feelings and emotion. I always thought the women were going to just kind of rise up and take over because they control a lot of stuff. They don't quite get it. I mean, okay. Yeah, they do. So anyway, I'm rambling.
I mean, there's a couple of callers behind you too, but I want to make sure you got your points across. Thank you so much.
Mostly, like I said, I see it from systems, and we own the numbers.
All right.
So I think everybody's doing the right stuff and nonviolent whenever possible.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for your words. Be strong. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. Let's go to our next caller. Sharon, thank you for waiting.
No, thank you for having me. We're all looking for real action that we can take. Mm-hmm. It was obviously, well, it is horrific and disgusting what's happening. So one thing we can do that might have some real power is to call our Senate. And that would include, I mean, I think our senators are already on board with the funding bill, where they mm-hmm. are for holding the funding for ICE until things can be totally redrafted. So, but this is where we can actually stop ICE getting a whole lot more money and without any kind of guardrails at all. I mean, so this is where we... possibly the money could be cut off, and that will matter. It could be a partial shutdown of the government, but I agree with the other callers where, like, yeah, this government is already a disaster right now, so why not shut it down?
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to call our senators, and if they have no people in other states, encourage them to call their senators, because it's at a stage where it still can be blocked, and this is where the purse strings can be actually pulled, and yeah. that is real power. So I just encourage people. I know that your last caller mentioned is invisible. I know they have had some work that they're doing on this also, so looking at that website could also be very good. But there is a chance right now until the end of this week where the bill has to be fully done. So it's going to happen this week. So mm-hmm. finding out today, right now, really, you know, calling in, even if it's to call our senators and say, thank you for the good work, keep it up.
Right.
You know, that kind of help matters too. So, but just so that people know, there is a chance right now. There is some real power right this week. Yeah.
Yes, very important. Thank you so much for raising those points, Sharon. Appreciate
sure.
it so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And, yeah, make sure that call the U.S. senators and let them know what you're thinking for those. Well, I guess in Washington, Oregon, our senators are on the right side of this issue. Those of you who are living in Southwest Washington, you know, the Congress, the House, voted on this, and this measure, including funding for ICE, and only a few Democrats voted for those. I think I forgot the number, but one of those was the representative from Southwest Washington, Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She gotten some pushback for voting for it. She's defended it, but you might want to have a conversation with your representative and saying, well, just have a conversation. Let's go to our next caller. Lou, good morning, Lou. How are you?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you well.
Okay, so it looks like you're addressing conversations with elected representatives, a good thing to do, and community building. So I had a couple points and a question. Point one, upcoming stuff. Portland Grey Panthers is having our February 14th conference. We included the name of, it's Maggie Kuhn Renee Good, Protecting Our Communities Conference. That's Parkland's anniversary, February 14th. That's a couple weeks away. There's two things I thought I would mention. You might have mentioned it, but there's a thing tomorrow night that we're going to go to with Eric Ward and Deborah Lipstadt at the Holocaust Museum. It's at 6 p.m. It's downtown Portland, Tuesday, tomorrow night. And Deborah Lipstadt is a teacher, I believe, from Florida. We have read her book, which is called Denying the Holocaust. And she there's also a film starring Rachel Weisz, a British actress, playing Deborah, when she was sued by a Holocaust denier, David Irving, a while ago. So Deborah Lipstadt is in person tomorrow night in Portland at the Holocaust Museum with Eric Ward. That's one thing that's coming up. There's also a city council meeting Wednesday morning. Some of us went to the last one, which was disrupted and was really interesting with Good Chance Against ICE by people. But the city council meeting Wednesday morning, this Wednesday in 2 days, is considering a $21 million fund that the Portland Housing Bureau found that they have an addition to spend on something. Activists on the left support Angelita Murillo's proposal on council, which is to help tenants and low-income people from being evicted. Mm-hmm. However, there's been a couple, two or three different sorts of amendments. I think Eric Zimmerman and Steve Novick and a couple others maybe have proposed taking out $10 million from rent assistance and from this $21 million fund that is around that they can use and spending on something else. And we think that's really bad. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons to ability to keep people in housing is using rent assistance for low-income tenants. So my question, listeners may or may not have followed the first part of this hearing, which was last Wednesday night at City Council. It was disrupted, and Jamie Dunphy, who's the new council president, halted the meeting. The protesters were maybe 50 people with really good chance. This is what democracy looks like, cancel a permit, etc. But a bunch of people were also signed up to talk about this housing fund. So my question is just for people that know about that protest, and they might not, did they think that was an effective protest? It was very effective in terms of chance and bringing ICE and the permit back to City Council. I don't know if you have a thought about that yourself, Cecil, but I can listen more offline if that works.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much, Lou. And thank you for raising those points and your observation about the Portland City Council and the disruption that happened at their last meeting. And certainly there's always, from my perspective, there are, and I think I've heard someone earlier today, there are a number of things that we can do, a number of tactics. There is no one tactic that will bring in nirvana, and there we all have different abilities, different skills, different foci. So there are many things that we can do. I don't know about the city council meeting. I think it would be interesting to hear the perspective of those who interrupted the meeting, how they felt it went, whether they accomplished what they wanted to, and what was it that they wanted to accomplish. And certainly in these times when so much life itself is one of disruption, we're going to continue to have those. So be patient with one another and know that people are concerned and doing whatever they can to try to create a better world. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. Thank you all for calling. But continue to listen and call at 503-231-8187. And let's hear what our next caller, Maria, has to say. Good morning.
It's Mariah.
Oh, Mariah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning. I don't have anything terribly informative, but a few years ago, what I've looked at is that, like, the civil rights movement, there was a lot and lot of song that went along with that, and that was really helpful to the people that were getting arrested and also to put the message out and for the community. And I think that, and I'm not a musician, but a couple years ago I wrote a poem, and I'm just going to tell you a couple lines of it because I think it would make a great chant for the street. Mm-hmm. And it goes, stand up and be counted, take action today, because sitting on the couch is going to make this mess go away. So vote with your dollars, your voice, and your feet, and the victory over the people shall be so sweet.
Hey. Thank you. Hey.
Yeah.
A chat. Wow. And you know, I appreciate that so much, and for your observation that, I mean, part of the movement, it is cultural. It includes art. It includes music. It includes chants. It includes dancing, and we need to use all of those. So let's incorporate them in the things that we are doing to make a better world.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Thank you for that chant, and I hope people take it up. And if you hear it, you can say, I started that. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Be well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Our last caller, Mariah, share some of her creative words by offering a poem that can be transformed into a chant, and a reminder that each one of us have certain skills, talents, interests, abilities, and that they are all important. No single one of us can do it all, and no group of us have all the answers. Part of our solution is recognizing one another and receiving our gifts and using it for the community. Let's continue that important work. In the meantime, let's hear from our next caller, Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I am dangerously well. Thank you very much, Cecil. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for being there. I'm simply calling to reiterate what I on my high horse have always said, and I will continue to say until the day that I draw my last breath. The only vote you have is the money in your wallet. Guard it carefully. Don't spend it profligately. Keep it up, people, because your dollar is important. And even those of us that have next to no dollars have enough to stop this machine. This machine will wind down, but not without our participation. Mm-hmm. And our participation, of course, is the everyday spending that we do. Wow. And until we stop spending, the machine will simply grind on. So please, please, please stop spending and wasting your resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. And you affirm a sentiment that was shared earlier in terms of an earlier caller who lifted up our economic power and what keeps this thing running.
Correct.
And that's so important.
But all of us together can defeat the tiny, tiny number of people that have the enormous wealth they have that has gone straight to their heads. Mm-hmm. Just common people, brothers, sisters everywhere, close your wallet for a while. Can you do that?
Can we do that?
Thanks for taking my call, and I do hope that you carry on now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. And just lifting up the concerns that Jeff just raised and a previous caller also raised is in terms of the actions that we can take in terms of our economics. There was a caller earlier who mentioned the possibility of, I'm not sure whether or not she said this, this is what I received from her, was in terms of like a general strike. What would it be like if one day people said, we will not work, we will not go to school, we will shut down? It's interesting, I believe, that the president seemed to only listen to what the stock market says. So part of his backing down from Greenland, I think, was because he was upset by the response of the stock market to his proposal. But I think an important point that our callers made is in terms of expanding our vision of what we can do. Certainly marching is important and that people should be in the street. Certainly, but that's not all that we can do. Certainly writing letters to your senators and representatives and going to their office and meeting with them, those things are important. But that's not the only thing that we can do. We have power in many different ways. So the example of strategic economic boycotts, shutdowns, are ways in which we can flex our political, economic, and ethical muscles. Who are we and how do we care for our community? I am encouraged and by how people in communities are working, preparing baskets and food for their neighbors, making sure escorting their neighbors to school and back, shopping for neighbors who are unable to leave their homes. Making sure, blowing whistles, standing on guard, preparing to bear witness, and ultimately that's what we are called to do. Because when all is said and done, and people ask, "Where were you?" or "What did you do?" I think ultimately we have to answer, "This is who I am. This is what I did. This is what I did not do." Our silence will not liberate us. It will only, I think, encourage the machine of death to continue to roll on. How do we find our voice to know what we can do? Again, look inside yourself, speak to your friends and your community, and say, what are we called to do? You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Stay tuned for programming that's coming up, but also listen up to this next wise voice. Tangent has some thoughts for us to share.
Hello. Yes, this is not a time for levity. But I did have a suggestion for some, street theater might be kind of... Okay. Yeah. There's a product called Ice Melt that you spread on pavement. People do this in shopping centers. So that's a thought. Maybe we should spread some Ice Melt.
Ice Melt, yes.
I get it. It's a way of laughing at them. And, we could be charged with littering, but heck...
But work with me. So where might we spread this? In front of the ice building? Or guess, what would you do?
Oh, God, I can't really hear you exactly what you said.
Oh, I'm asking, where would you spread this?
Oh, well, at these demonstrations.
Okay.
It's like they're going to throw stuff at us. Can't we just throw some stuff down on the street? And in court, we'll just say, well, we thought we were doing our civic duty. It was cold out. We didn't want... something to, you know, something to freeze and some trip and hurt, get hurt, you know, what have you.
Yeah, and why not? We'll spread salt around and then they'll pepper spray us. But hey, okay.
Yeah, salt and pepper. Hey.
Oh wow! Okay. I didn't even think of that. Hey, hey, working with you. Hey.
Levity.
Oh wow. Okay. Good. Hey. Hey, maybe you and I could go on the road with this. I don't know. Okay, tangent.
Yeah, I just find it interesting about the terrorists are calling peaceful people terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, this is another funny thing. I was thinking this morning, okay, the Nazis were braver than these guys because they didn't wear masks. What are these neo-Nazis afraid of?
Well, you know, and it's interesting you talk about the new Nazis, and I, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, this is the Nazification of America and going back to Germany. I prefer going back to U.S. history. So we have the Klan who did wear masks. We have the tactics that American attack and genocide of indigenous people and the enslavement of people who were kidnapped. Mm-hmm. Those were sort of examples. We don't have to go very far to see the brutality of the regime. We don't have to go to Germany. It's homegrown here in America.
But since you're going there, Hitler actually thought that smallpox in the blankets was a fantastic idea. Yeah. We should have thought of it.
Very
old. Okay, let's march on.
Let's march on. And as historians have observed, a lot of what Hitler and the German did, they took from the United States. Wilkerson's book Caste talks about that in some detail in terms of how oppressive regimes borrow from one another. Well, you have been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil. Stay tuned if you're listening live to the O-Mole Variety Hour that's coming up at 9 a.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And you can listen to us at any time. Continue to listen to us online and continue to support your community. Thank you all for what you are doing. Continue to protect and care for one another. That's the way in which we endure, in which our ancestors endured, and this is the way in which we can, by being community, by supporting one another, by opening our eyes when we want to look away. It may be difficult. It may be hard. It may be painful. But we need to care. We need to support, especially those who are most vulnerable. Let us remember our neighbors who have been kidnapped. Let us remember our neighbors who are missing. And let us build community in which all are protected and cared for. Let's see if we can have perhaps one last call. It is. We have a caller? No, oh, we don't. Okay. Thank you all for listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Thank you for supporting KBOO. I'm Cecil, and I will speak with you next time.
90.7 on your FM dial.
Tune in at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez here on your community radio station.